Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, September 22nd. I'm Ray Graff, and from the sublime to the ridiculous and back again, my friends. It's allegedly, purportedly, supposedly going to be Vox Pop, and on this program, if it happens, Darren Tracy and Stephen Englehart will be here to talk home maintenance and repair. Darren is a regular on the show. You know what he does. He has experience in construction, renovation. Stephen specializes in historic preservation. You got a call to get in. 800-348-2551. If you have a question, 1-800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, Stephen Englehart, your call's coming up. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome two construction specialists. Vox Pop favorite Darren Tracy is joined today by his colleague Stephen Englehart, and they are ready to answer your home maintenance questions. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with experience in construction, renovation, and property management. He's a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, and he is a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. Stephen Englehart is the executive director of Adirondack Architectural Heritage, the regional historic preservation organization of the Adirondack Park. Stephen worked as a stonemason and house builder and has a master's of science in historic preservation from UVM. If you have a question for our guests today, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Ray.
Great to have you here. And, you know, there was a time 15, 20 minutes ago, I wasn't sure this show was actually going to happen, but we made our challenge in that little mini bit of a fun drive we just did. And great to have you back, and we'll get to the call soon. You brought a guest today, Stephen Englehart, and what a great idea of yours, Darren, to bring Stephen on. Stephen, so you do a lot of historic preservation and such.
I do, Ray, and thank you for having me on, and congratulations on meeting your little fun drive there. Yeah, I've been both as the executive director of Adirondack Architectural Heritage, and in my own personal life, I've been involved in historic preservation for decades, and absolutely love it. And so it's a great thrill to share a little bit of this with all of you.
You know, Darren has talked about many of his projects over the time, and I'm sure you've heard about the little house, or what do they call it, Darren? The up in Glens Falls way or Queensbury?
To Dr. Ferguson's office. I call it Dr. Ferguson's tiny office because of its stature.
And that was a historic site, right?
It was. And actually, and interestingly, it was brought to my attention by Stephen and Stephen's organization, ARCH, coincidentally. So hats off to Stephen and his organization for bringing that particular project to my attention, and it was on the verge of being knocked down. Bids had been solicited for demolition. And Stephen's organization, ARCH, does this throughout the Adirondacks. They do a great job.
I guess my point in bringing that up is that, Stephen, there is a special set of rules, regulations, criteria that you must follow when you are doing an historic site, right?
Well, that's actually a big misconception because, in fact, there aren't.
Really?
You know, yeah, I mean, where there are a lot of regulatory hurdles is if you were doing a project that was funded by state or federal funding on a historic building, you would have to follow certain guidelines. Or if you lived in a community like Saratoga Springs that had a local preservation ordinance, you would have to follow certain guidelines. But just in and of itself, having a building listed on the National Register of Historic Places, which is one measure of what makes a historic building, doesn't bring with it in and of itself any kinds of guidelines for doing work on the building.
So, in other words, you could, in fact, remodel at will most of these sites?
You could tear it down if you wanted to. Not something, of course, something that we would very much work against. But, it, you know, in most of the historic build, designated historic buildings in New York State are not governed by local ordinances such as the ones I just described. And you know, for better or worse, it means that people are free to do mostly whatever they want. And, you know, one of the things that we work on a lot as an organization is to give people good advice as to how to go about taking care of their historic buildings and talking to them about how to solve certain conservation problems, how to find a good contractor, how to make good decisions, and so that we hope that they'll do the right thing, even in the absence of regulatory mechanisms to do so.
We are joined today on this program by Stephen Engelhardt, who is working primarily in historic preservation, but does many things. He is the executive director of Adirondack Architectural Heritage. Also, our regular guest on this home maintenance repair and improvement program, Darren Tracy, is with us. And Stephen, I don't know, do you have time to hang around and join Darren in answering some nuts and bolts questions here on the program?
Absolutely. Happy to. Yeah.
All right, Darren, I guess you guys can fight it out for airtime here. We'll take a quick break. Before we take that break, Alan Shartok, Stephen, wants me to ask you. He's very insistent that I ask you, are you related to the Engelhardt of the Engelhardt Industries down in New Jersey?
I am not. I am thrilled that Alan Shartok said my name, of course, and but we are the Pocahontas, Missouri, by way of Plattsburgh, New York, Engelharts.
All right, fair enough. Well, I had to ask. I literally had to ask, and now we're done. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Stephen Engelhardt, Darren Tracy here to answer your home improvement questions. We'll be back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. The number is 800-348-2551. Remember, we are in lockbox mode here as well. If you have not made your pledge, go to WAMC.org and do so if you can, if you have a few bucks to spare. On this program on Vox Pop, we're joined by Darren Tracy as we talk home maintenance, repair, and improvement. And Darren also suggested we bring on Stephen Engelhardt today, who is the executive director of Adirondack Architectural Heritage, the Regional Historic Preservation Organization of the Adirondack Park. So if you have a question for either of these two, call us now, 800-348-2551. Joanna in South Hadley gets us started. Joanna, you're up.
All right. I have a question regarding gutter covers. I live in Western Mass, so that's my territory. And 20 years ago, I paid a lot of money to have a gutter cover, professional gutter cover put on a second floor dormer gutter. And the thing never worked properly, and the company refused to even return my calls, even though it was supposedly guaranteed. I know you can't mention brand names, but can you ask your guests if they know of any particular type of gutter cover that does work? It seems to me all the ads have, like, fake Photoshopped pictures of fake leaves and fake water going into them.
All
Thanks
right.
so much.
Darren Tracy, go ahead.
Okay, I'm not aware of any particular brand that works better than another. They do seem to work until they get clogged up with pine needles or other fine bits of leaf matter. So it's again, it's one of those things where you do have to get up there occasionally and clean them out, not as often as open gutters, but occasionally.
Joanna?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. It sounds like there's a need for a better mousetrap, only there's a need for a better gutter cover.
You know, I agree with you on
that. I think you're right.
Yep. Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's home improvement, maintenance, and repair today with Darren Tracy. And also joining us today, Stephen Engelhardt. And let's go over to line, let's see, Michael in Albany. Michael, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've also got a gutter cover problem. That's our question that relates to what happens in the winter when snow and ice that previously has sat on my roof with no problem, suddenly now because of the existence, I think, of the gutter covers comes sliding off of my roof and gives me icicles as well. I've got a two-story wood frame Center Hall Colonial built in 86. The attic area is vented. It's vented under the soffits. It's vented in a sidewall. It's just a truss area in the attic, so I have a standard slope there on the roof. Never had a problem with ice and icicles sliding off before. I'm concerned because the ice is falling on a stoop that leads to my entrance to my home. I don't want anyone to get hit, and so I don't know what the solutions are. The cover for the gutter that was installed by this company has a smooth, solid surface base. Not solid, it's perforated so that water can drip in, but it supposedly keeps leaves and debris out. So my question is, should I remove these things? Should I get something like a snow or ice stopping piece of hardware or something to put up above the door? What can I do to reduce the risk that someone might get hit by ice coming off the roof?
All right, Darren, we lost Stephen temporarily. We're getting him back. So, Darren, this is all yours.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
If the gutter is creating an ice dam problem, then I would remove that gutter cover mechanism because you're trying to solve one problem, but you're creating another problem that's worse. Regarding a localized area over top of your entry, you could remove it just in that section. Or you could put snow slides, what are called snow slides, on that area, and they're fastened to your shingles above your entry roof, and they prevent ice from sliding off. In general, if it's creating an ice dam problem, then I would remove them, unfortunately. That's what I would advise.
Now, is an ice dam essentially ice that forms at the edge of the roof, and it builds up underneath the roof covering or something?
It does. You mentioned that you had good soffit and attic ventilation, but evidently...
Yeah, we've been here since... Yeah. We've been here since 1986. I'm sorry.
Why don't you go, Michael? And then we'll
go
to Darren. You've been there since 1986,
And we've never had a problem in the winters. I've got photos, actually, because we decorate the house in the wintertime. And I've got photos of the house with snow and everything sitting up there. This past winter, I decided I'd go out and take photos of these icicles and the ice that was forming at the edge of the roof in the same place where there had been none before we put these gutter covers on.
Interesting. All right, Darren.
Well, it's pretty clear, Michael, that you did not have the problem before the gutter covers, and now you're having the problem, so... I would advise removing the gutter covers.
Okay. Thank you for your advice. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael. We appreciate it. We have Stephen Engelhardt back. Everything working on your connection now, sir?
I think so. Sorry about that.
Hey, you know, these things happen. And remember, Darren is used to coming into the studio every month or two when we do this show, and it goes very smoothly from a technical standpoint, but Darren's on the phone, you're on the phone, the guests are on the phone. It's very much subject to the whims of technology, and sometimes these things happen. So we appreciate your patience and the patience of every guest who's on this show every day since the lockdown began. Fred is in Delanson. Fred, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for the show, Dan.
Sure.
I just wanted to know, we had shored up our house in the basement a number of years ago because we had about an inch and a half dip in the living room and with some lollipop columns. And we think we still have some more dip or whatever at different areas in the house. So I wanted to know your opinion or if you're someone who could look at it or know someone who does what should be done if there is indeed a dip.
Well, that sounds like something I'd have to take a look at, and you could contact me after the show on my email, via email, or go to my website, westbranchengineering.com, and my email is darren@westbranchinc.com, and I could take a look at that more closely if you could send me some pictures, and I'll do that at no cost up to a certain amount of time. I'm not looking for work, but I'm glad to help out people with relatively minor or problems that I can solve quickly.
That's nice. Fred, while you're here, I'll ask Stephen Engelhardt if he has any insights into your issue.
Well, it's funny because I've just spent the last couple of weeks down in my cellar and in a house that was built in 1808. And you look at the floor framing under that, and it was seems to be thrown together with every piece of used wood that they could scrounge at the time. And so there's a whole forest of posts under there keeping it up in the air. And so like the caller is, I think, has done or needs to do, I've just gone around and made sure that in all the key areas where structural support was needed, I put in new columns that these lolly columns that can be adjusted. And of course, one thing that one sometimes has to do periodically is to tighten them again because maybe the footing that they're sitting on has sunk. And so, you know, especially in an old house, they require some periodic attention.
Fred, thank you very much for the call. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement today with Darren Tracy and Stephen Engelhart. The number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Ramon in Montgomery. You're on.
Yes, hello. I have an 1850s cottage that pretty much was cobbled together also. It's like post barn frame and mortise and tendon with dowels held together. I need a new roof. It's standing metal seam, but the kind that rolls. It looks like it was maybe done in the early 1900s. Now, how do I vet a contractor who can open this up and will know what they're looking at, because it is very irregular construction?
Mm.
It's not like a modern crew could come in and say, this is on 16s, I'm going to just bang this out, boom, boom.
Yeah. Well, Darren, you go first.
Ramon, like any contractor you would hire, you'd want to vet them by getting some references, talking to the suppliers that they use.
But,
and
yeah, I don't want to interrupt you. I don't want to interrupt you,
go
but
ahead.
Of course I know that. And I don't know anyone who has a standing metal seam from the turn of the century,
right,
on a 1800s cottage.
They're out there. There's one manufacturer, I think it's called ABC Metal Roofing. Those standing seams are made, and they actually have a type of standing seam roof now that's a clip-type mechanism. And for listeners who are not aware of what a standing seam metal roof is, it's a metal roof, and about every 20 inches, 16 inches, 2 feet, depending upon the pattern, there's an upright portion of the roof, maybe an inch or inch and a half in height, that allows the adjacent panel to snap onto it. And that is what gives you the watertight seal,
mm-hmm,
and hence the name standing seam roof. So in these, back in the 1850s, when this house was made, or maybe even a little bit later when that roof went on, they would hand bend that seam to which I referred and then crimp it with crimpers. But now they have a snap lock type system, and it works pretty well. There's still the old,
one
there's
quick
still
thing
the old
about
fashioned.
That.
Hang on, Ramon.
Ahead.
Let it. Let,
one
okay.
quick. I'm sorry. One quick thing about that. I went to a big lumber yard, and I talked to the desk guy there about who he thinks who buys standing metal seams, and I said, who would you reference from how much they buy a year? And I had the guys come. I've had more than one contractor come out here, and you can get into the attic and look, and when they see what's there, they're kind of like, well, this isn't really for me.
Hmm.
Because
okay.
they're telling
so
me
sounds-
it's going to take them too long to come in and do it. It's going to cost too much because their
okay.
guys aren't – some of them have been frank. He said their guys, they come in, they don't deal with this.
Right.
Okay.
You know,
right,
they
Ramon.
Open up a roof and they got 16 on center and they boom, boom.
Right. Darren.
Okay, Ramon. Regarding it costing too much, I mean, that would be your decision to make whether it costs too much or not. But a standing seam – a couple of things. A standing seam roof, you'd want to go to more of a commercial supplier – commercial roofer. I know in the Albany area, in other metropolitan areas, they have commercial roofing supply companies that specialize in this type of product. And so the contractors that they use will specialize in that type of product too. Now, regarding the
the timbers underneath and the wood framing. You just have to deal with what's there. I mean, you can peel that metal off. You might have to put a sheathing product over top of your complete roof for good fastening. But, you know, that's not really that uncommon. And
okay.
You just have to hunt around for a contractor that would do that.
All right, Ramon, thanks a lot for the call. We're joined today by Darren Tracy and Stephen Engelhardt. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement today. The number is 800-348-2551. We go to Mark in Salem. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Ray. Boy, you hit a nerve with this historic preservation because that was what I did for 35 years.
Huh.
I built, restored probably with my partner about 10 or 11 houses. And fenestration, if he will, your guest will speak to that. Before he does, I would like to suggest that the old 12 over 8 or 9 over 6 windows do not have to be taken out and thrown away. If I figured out a system where I use a quarter-inch plate glass on the inside that has been swiped and put 3M tape on the back and put a few sticks on the side, put it up against the inside window, and put a couple of sheetrock screws with faucet washers on them, 5 of them to be exact, and that holds this plate glass as tight as steel so we don't get any condensation and so it doesn't push the putty out of the old windows, so you can have the original fenestration. Would he speak to the importance of keeping that fenestration?
Fenestration running in the third at Belmont. Stephen Engelhardt, what do you think?
Yeah, so, yeah, this is a great topic. And, you know, I mean, to begin with, I think, you know, the windows of a house, especially in a historic building, are often a very important sort of character-defining feature, and they are what make give a building its sort of charm and beauty. And so if at all possible, a historic building owner should make every effort possible to try to save them and to keep them. And the caller is right. There's a whole lot of ways that a whole lot of things that you can do to make a historic window more energy efficient. You can add storms on the outside. You can add storms on the inside. Doing all of the basics of weather stripping, of course, is very important. And you know, windows can also be removed and repaired, and if they need to be, and then put back into place so that they function properly and that, so they're not letting air in around them. And, you know, there's a whole, you know, industry of replacement windows these days, and their advertising is very effective, and they have convinced lots and lots of people that the answer to a drafty window is to buy their product. And but what they don't tell you is that the energy payback on those replacement windows can often be longer in terms of years than the windows apt to last. So, you know, the promises that are made are promises that will be very hard to keep, and you lose a very important character-defining feature to boot. And, you know, to back to the last caller, first of all, repairing windows is something a homeowner can learn to do, and that's a great way to do it economically. But it's also the importance of finding a contractor who knows how to work with historic buildings, whether it's window repair or whether it's replacing roofing, is so important. And what I was going to suggest last caller was to call organizations like the Preservation League of New York, the Saratoga Springs Preservation Foundation, the Historic Albany Foundation. They often keep lists of contractors with whom they do good work on historic buildings.
Okay, and this was with regard to the metal roof, right?
Yes, yes, it was.
Gotcha.
But it applies to windows as well.
We are joined today by Darren Tracy and Stephen Engelhardt. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement, and the number is 800-348-2551. Let's grab one more before our next break, and then we will come back and go to the home stretch all the way to the top of the hour. Susan in Western Massachusetts. Susan.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I live in a home that has a 60-plus-year-old garage floor that's pretty much disintegrating. It's got some large cracks. We spent a day trying to sweep it and vacuum it a couple of weekends ago. And the more you sweep, the more you're sweeping up the floor itself. And We sent pictures to one contractor who said basically just dig it up and re-pour it. So my question is, and I'm in Western Mass, I don't know how familiar you are with the area, but we're having a lot of trouble finding someone who just does a basic repair or re-pour of the concrete. We find lots of people who want to do nice patios and stamped walkways and pool decks, and we also find lots of people who do commercial cement work, or they do new builds of new homes, but just finding your, you know, your average Joe that wants to come in and replace a garage floor has been kind of a struggle. So do you have any suggestions of where we could look rather than just searching the internet, which isn't getting us anywhere?
Darren Tracy.
Right. Right. I do. My first call would be to your local ready mix supplier, your concrete supplier. They deal with concrete subcontractors all the time. So subcontractors come and go, and we always have calls, you know, how, like the roofing call, you know, how would I find a good contractor? You just have to search because they come and they go. Stephen suggested using local preservation organizations for resources, and that's a great idea. But for this particular concrete project that you have, call your local ready-mix concrete company, and there might be one or two or three in your area, and they have a list of contractors. And don't rule out commercial contractors because you said this is in a garage. What they can do is they can use this as a rainy day type project, so it's covered, and they might give you a bargain price because of that. Yeah. And one more tip, when you take that slab out, before you pour a new slab, install a layer of 6 mil poly plastic down, and that helps minimize water wicking up through the slab, and that's important even in a garage.
All right, Susan, we have to take a break, but thank you very much for the call. Stephen Engelhardt and Darren Tracy here to answer your home improvement questions. We'll be back at 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop, Home Improvement Today. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Darren Tracy and Stephen Engelhardt, and they're here to answer your questions. And gentlemen, a few emails here, and then we'll get back to the phones until the end of the program. This one is from Nan in Wilton. Nan says, I have a wonderful vintage Roper 6 burner, two-oven gas kitchen stove. We repaired several things on the stove. It has pilot lights for all burners, but somewhere we are leaking a very small amount of propane. Where do we turn for repair and inspection of our stove? And that is Nan in Wilton.
Well, you call a plumbing contractor, and you can apply a solution of water and soap and search for bubbles to isolate or locate the leak.
Okay. This one is from Liz. Liz says, I own an old house with dirt floor basement. We have added a layer of plastic over the floor, but the living room above the basement still smells musty. I was thinking of adding reflective foil insulation. Will this help, or what do you recommend? That's from Liz.
I'll take this, Steve, if you don't mind, because
please.
I'd like to apologize to a caller from the past. I told him that I had on my website a video of how to install a relatively inexpensive concrete floor in an older home that has dirt for basement floor. And it's actually not there.
Oh.
And I will get that up because that's a great improvement for an older building to minimize the mustiness and the humidity. And the person stated that they had poly on the floor. That's a great first step. And she just wanted to make sure that that's sealed around the perimeter. She could add the insulation to the underside of her first floor, subfloor, and that might help also. But just making sure that the poly is tight around all the perimeter.
Okay, Steve, do you want to add anything to that?
No, but I think that's a project I have in my future, too, so I'm going to call Darren about it when I'm ready.
Fair enough. This one's from Josh in Austerlitz. My turn roof is in need of repainting and fastener replacement. Any quick tips? Asked a few roofers. They claim to have never heard of turn. What is turn?
Turn is a type of metal, an alloy of metal. I think it has a higher percentage of relatively high percentage of tin. Mm-hmm. And it resists corrosion. I know in the house that I grew up in, it still has the metal roof on it from like 100 years ago. Can you imagine a roof lasting 100 years?
Yeah.
So it's the alloy. So when they go to refasten that, they probably want to use screws with a rubber head, rubber washer, and tighten down and make sure that it holds securely. They may have to go underneath in the attic and add some wood for the screws to bite into. And the second thing is to paint that with an oil-based paint, not a latex paint. An oil-based paint will last a lot longer, prevent corrosion. And lastly, regarding that, there may be an oil-based older paint on there that has lead, so you'd want to take precautions for lead paint on that project. I don't know, Stevens, you want to add anything on that regarding a turn roof?
That sounds good.
Okay, this is the last email, and then we'll jump back to the phones until the end. This is from Tina. Tina says, I want to make a new path and cleared area on my 5 acres to either relocate or build another structure. I was told that I need to get an engineer to check the water table and other factors. Do I need to get an engineer to check the site's water table, etc.? I cannot get any guidance from my town because they say it is a conflict of interest and they cannot suggest anyone. I have no idea where to start to find someone. I have not started to clear land yet because I want to find the right protocol. Any suggestions for at least a directory that can help me find someone? And that is from Tina.
Ray, I missed the first part of that. She's trying to create a path. Is that what you said?
It says here, the subject heading is relocating for a new structure on my property. And then the first sentence is, I want to make a new path and cleared area on my 5 acres to either relocate or build another structure. And then, you know, she was told that they need to get an engineer to check the water table and other stuff.
Right. Well, the water table would affect the septic system if it was a private septic system. But yeah, an engineer is the person to go to, someone who does site work, like this professional engineer.
Well,
and you could, there's a registry online. If you go to a New York State website, there's a registry of licensed professional engineers.
All right. And Stephen, you want to add anything?
Nope.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, there you go, Tina. There is a registry, and it's at the where do you find that thing, Darren?
You can Google search New York State Education Department. I believe that's where the registry is.
Okay.
Also, she can do a Google search for consulting engineers. And here's another tip. Maybe this is the best tip.
Okay.
Contact your local municipality, the town that where she lives, and talk to the building department and ask them for some professional engineering consultants who do work in the area. That's the first place.
Well, I mean, this is what she says. She can't get any guidance from the town because they say it's a conflict of interest and they cannot suggest anyone.
Well, what you can do is you can go to the town and you can ask to see some of the building permits or look at some of the public records, and in the bottom right-hand corner of the blueprint is the name of the engineer. She can also go to a couple planning board meetings, and typically engineers will be presenting at the planning board meetings, and she would get names that way.
Fair enough. Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Jade in Charlemont, you're on.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. I was really heartened to hear you talk about windows and keeping windows. I am a professional window restoration person, and as we speak, I'm working on sash from a house built in 1716.
Cool.
And we have done a blower door test to show a vast improvement once we add weather stripping and storm windows. And so what I want to do is give you the name of a group of window restoration folks, and we have a directory, a national directory. So is it okay if I share that?
Sure, why not?
Great. It's WPA, Window Preservation Alliance, And now, is it .com or .org? I am not really sure.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, fair enough.
Then the other thing, Ray, you had sort of suggested there's lots of rules and regulations as far as working on older houses. And there really are lots of rules and regulations once you get into filling out in the bid process. And typically they're set out by the National Park Service, Secretary of the Interior. But
you can
find that through the Pardon me?
Let's let Stephen Engelhardt respond to that.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Stephen. No?
Are you there, Stephen?
I guess he's gone. All right, well, you know
what? Well, I can imagine what he would say.
Go ahead, Darren.
Those rules and regulations only apply to projects that are funded by the state or federal dollars, as Stephen mentioned. So that doesn't necessarily, it doesn't apply to the majority of old homes and old windows.
Gotcha. Okay, there's the distinction. Let's go to Russ in Waterford. Russ, you're on.
Yeah, so I have a question. I've been in my house for 25 years, and when I bought my house, it had an underground fuel oil tank. I never thought anything of it when I bought it because it had already been converted to gas. But I'm going to be selling my house probably in the next couple of years. Am I obligated to remove that tank before I sell my house? And can I do that myself, or do I have to hire somebody?
Russ, I don't think you're obligated to remove that tank. And I think your only obligation is if you know that there is a leak, then you need to notify the New York State Department of Conservation in New York. They can be a real problem. It can be really costly. There used to be lots of tank yanks, what were called tank yanks in the state, but most of the underground tanks have been removed. I know they can be a killer for a sale because of the potential liability. Regarding, I'm trying to recall, I removed some tanks myself, and I think you can do that up to a certain size tank. I think it's a 1,000-gallon tank. Anything less than that, you can remove yourself, something like that.
Okay.
But again, there is an obligation. If you do encounter a leak, you are obligated to contact the state.
All right, Russ, thanks a lot and good luck. 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Darren Tracy and Stephen Engelhardt. Darren, the rest of the show is on you. We were having some phone issues with Stephen, and we're running out of time here, so you'll be the guy. Is that all right with you?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, and when Stephen and I were talking when we were on break, we were talking about old houses and how they're an opportunity for first home buyers to become homeowners, because often you can buy an old house relatively inexpensively.
Yeah.
And do a lot of the sweat equity yourself. So, you know, that's one of the beauties of an older home. And sometimes I prefer to use the word old house or older home versus a historic home, because historic has a connotation to it that it's could be expensive or hands off. And where, you know, I think it's just an opportunity for lots of people in many different ways.
Okay, over to Doug in New Paltz. Doug, you're on with Darren Tracy.
Hi. We have a crawl space that's in pretty good shape. It has some insulation on the floor above that's sort of sagging, and some mildew on the wood, the joists and the beams. We're considering the foam insulation. We've heard good and bad things about it. Do you have any opinions on that?
I do have opinions on that. In fact, I just consulted on a house, a really nice old house that was built on piers adjacent to a body of water, and they have the same situation that you have, and Doug, and that's insulation that was installed in between the floor joists is falling down. So it's really difficult to insulate a house on a crawl space that way. What I prefer to do is treat the crawl space like a miniature basement. So you'd want to seal up the perimeter walls insulate those, install a layer of polyethylene on the ground, or if it's a slab, even on top of the slab, to minimize the amount of moisture that comes up. So really important to do that. So treat that crawl space like a miniature basement. You could spray foam the underside of the floor joists and the sheathing, but it's really hard to do that well. And you have penetrations for your mechanicals, like water lines, and your water line could extend down below that spray foam insulation and be exposed to freezing problems. So I would suggest insulating the perimeter of your crawl space. And I'm going to load up some information on my website about that too, because that's a really, really important detail for houses on crawl spaces.
What is your website, by the way, while we're on the topic?
West Branch Engineering. If they Google that, that'll be my website. And if you go to Facebook, anybody that's on Facebook, I have some videos on that. I'm using that more because it's easier to maintain and load up. Just Google search West Branch Engineering and Consulting on Facebook.
Okay. Well, Doug, thank you very much for the call. Let's go over to Joe in Albany. Joe.
Regarding gutters, someone recommended that I use commercial gutter with commercial downspouts, and that way I don't have to use the leaf guards. What do you think?
And the reason for that is that it would not clog up because they're larger. Is that the reason?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they would tend to clog less, but depending upon how treed your lot is, they would still clog up some. But and they're much more expensive too. You know, gutters are a problem. They really are. And unless you can maintain them regularly, I would advise against them.
Interesting.
So
I should go with regular gutters with a leaf guard?
You could use a leaf guard, and it helps, but it does clog up from time to time. You wouldn't think so, but you can get some pine needles or just particles of leaves will fall into those openings and tend to clog them over time. They will need maintenance as well. You might get 5 years before they need to be cleaned, whereas in a conventional gutter, you'd want to clean that every year. And the problem with a gutter is if you're in a treed area and it fills up with debris, you can cause water backup and it rot out some of your wood structure. So,
all right, Joe, thanks a lot. We only have about 90 seconds left here, Darren, so let's go over to Mal in Pittstown. Mal, you're on.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. You only have about a minute
here,
Mal.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on.
Go ahead, Mal. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Cool. I couldn't catch you on my phone. I apologize.
Gotcha.
We had some termite damage on a three-story home at the corner of the house. Essentially, the outside sill plate, about 4 feet in either direction at the corner, has been damaged, and about 4 to 6 feet of the interior studs that go up at that corner as well have been damaged. The thought was that the floor joists right now do appear to be sound. So in doing this repair, would it be logical to do an interior support of some sort for the second floor?
Okay.
Off of the first floor, because we're going to have to remove sheathing and other things like that.
All right, 30 seconds here or less, Darren.
Okay. Termites can be devastating compared to powder post beetles and carpenter ants. They really can be destructive. I would do some investigation. If you have to remove some sheetrock, you have to remove some sheetrock to determine to what extent those floor joists have been damaged or not.
All right, that's where we will have to leave it. Darren Tracy, thanks so much for being here. If you talk to Stephen Engelhardt, thank him as well. You guys were both terrific, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
See ya. Support comes from Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, working to provide a healthy and safe environment, providing education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world, reopening 5 days a week in person, K-12, waldorfsaratoga.org for information. And Bergeron Electrical Services, for over 30 years providing the Pioneer Valley and Western Massachusetts with all electrical services, interior and exterior lighting, generator installation, and more. BergeronElectrical.net. and Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services at a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. Once again, thanks to Darren Tracy and Stephen Engelhart for being with us today. Thank you for the calls. Many apologies if we did not get to yours. We will have Darren back on again soon. The fund drive is going on. You can support us that way, WAMC.org. Fill that lockbox. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Jackie Orchard, our producer. Calls answered by Jordan Yuxall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, if all things go well and the creek don't rise, we'll talk automotive repair with our buddy Gordon Fricke. Right now, stand by for the book show.